This direct voice talk was given by Brother Boniface, who takes for his subject the resurrection.
You wish to ask me some questions, Church?
Well, Brother Boniface, you may know that we want to push forward this work, and we anticipate making these talks which you give to us more widely known by putting them on record so that they can be played on record players. We can distribute them all over the world. Now, I think perhaps you could help us if you could enlarge upon the what we would call the Easter message, the resurrection. If you could say talk on this for a while, we could make this very important message more very widely known.
Resurrection. First, I think it is most important that we understand clearly what we mean in regard to the resurrection. The resurrection of the spirit, not physical material body, as so often is considered so by Christians. Christ himself, who was resurrected and returned unto his disciples and others, who appeared so that they might know that he had truly resurrected, in fact, and returned to demonstrate the reality. I think it is so important that we should know that the realm of the spirit, the world of the spirit, inhabited by countless millions of souls, is not a physical world in the sense that yours is. That, of course, makes it extremely difficult for us to depict or describe with any great accuracy the conditions of our world. At the time of Easter, when you celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Christ, I think it is so essential that everyone should understand the true meaning of this. Christ himself realized when on earth only too well, as he so often said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of the world of the Spirit. I go unto my Father." He was not referring to a material world. He was not referring to the physical material body. I know that on one occasion he appeared unto the disciples, and there was consternation, and he endeavored to prove the reality of himself in a physical sense, and showed the marks of his hands and his feet and the wound in his side. But this was to prove to doubting men the reality of the self, of the spirit. He, in other words, materialized in a physical sense. And by the fact of him appearing for the benefit of proof and evidence in this fashion, it has been assumed by innumerable people since that time that we are risen in a physical shape, or rather that we are as we were when on earth. People people do not seem to credit or to realize that the physical material body cannot and does not become resurrected. But what happens is that the spirit manifesting itself through the etheric body, or double of the physical material, to all outward appearances seems the same. Same as if I or any other soul wishes to make ourselves known to you, we appear in a materialized form, as we were when on earth. But it is not the same body. It cannot be the same body. But it is the same personality. It is the same entity manifesting itself in an etheric form for recognition, for the evidence that is necessary to those who are witnessing the phenomenon. The resurrection, as we all know, happens to all life, all humanity, as soon as so-called death takes place. The spiritual or etheric body is released from its house, the physical. The individual soul is expressing itself through this newly released body, which all the time was already inhabiting the physical. Once man can realize that he is not just physical, that he is not just what he seems as he sees himself in the mirror of earth, but he is far more than this, far more than outer form and shape, that he is indeed an individual expressing himself through a physical body, but the etheric or spiritual body that is encased. This is freed at death. Christ himself understood and knew these truths. Christ was able to do the things that he did because he realized the power of the Spirit. He realized the power that was manifest all around and about him. He knew how to draw from the etheric world forces which he was able to use to demonstrate. Indeed, he was able to perform what the world terms miracles. And yet we all know that these things which are termed miracles are due to natural laws, laws of the spiritual and the psychical. Once man begins to understand these things, many of the mysteries will disappear. Much of the cause, which is at the root of so much of the trouble of your world, will disappear. Man, when he understands that the material world of the flesh is merely the vehicle of expression of the spirit. And if man thinks evil, evil will follow in its wake. You are, as it were, at this very time, going through great difficulty, trial and tribulation in your world, because man himself thinks purely and solely on material ground. He cannot see or realize the power of the Spirit that is within himself, and indeed which is all around and about the earth, waiting, as it were, to be tapped, to be used. The resurrection of the Spirit of man is the living reality of life. Christ himself said that these things that I do, ye shall do also, and greater than these, for I go unto my Father. Yet man, since his time, have not accomplished the things that Christ accomplished. They have not done the things that he said that they should do, because man himself has not the realization of the power of the Spirit, neither the faith Here and there through history, you read of those individuals who have to some extent overcome the body, who have for moments of their time been lifted beyond material things and performed what the world terms miracles. And in some senses, they have become transported while yet in the body into the realm of spirit. And in consequence, oft times they have been made what you term saints. All these experiences of the spirit, all these manifestations of the spirit are there for every man to experience, but he himself must make himself worthy. Changes are all the time happening with every individual. Sometimes they are so subtle that you do not realize them. Sometimes they seem so strange that one ignores them. Sometimes the things that happen within oneself cause uncertainty and fear. Even those who profess to know these truths at times are doubting themselves, afeard that perhaps they may be misled or mislead in consequence others. And yet I say to you that the power of the Spirit is such that nothing is impossible if you will but have faith. Christ said that we should remove mountains, and so it could be by faith. All things are possible. Christ turned to the woman who touched the hem of his garment and said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." So it is that if we have faith in the power of the Spirit, if we have the realization within ourselves that there is this force, this power for good that can overcome all evil, so it shall, so it can, and will overcome. Christ knew of these things when he himself knew that his hour was come. There was no fear, for he knew that within himself it was merely a matter of being transported from the physical to the spiritual. But I would like you to realize that Christ himself was in every sense a normal man. Not as some people would have you believe or think, some spirit so far removed from men, born under such circumstances that placed him far and away and above human understanding. Christ was born under normal, ordinary circumstances of poor parents, brought up under difficulties, and indeed had to perform menial tasks. Christ was an ordinary person inasmuch that his material existence or condition of existence was normal. But he had the spiritual insight, the spiritual realization, the communication that was constant within him with his Father. And I do not mean, when I say Father, an individual, for God cannot be classified in shape or form or as an individual. We must think of God as a divine force and power even beyond any of our hope of realization. We know God not in the sense of an individual, but as a great force and power for good. Christ himself understood much much indeed that has not been recorded or revealed to man. Christ himself said many things which have not been written down. Much has been lost, and indeed much that has been credited to Christ and recorded is not necessarily always so, or faithfully so recorded. We must remember that the books were written by many people, and they were copied and altered and changed in so many different ways. I, and indeed others who may come to you with sincerity and in love to endeavor to clarify and clear the path of weeds and obstructions so that you may walk firmly and surely towards truth. We do not suggest for one moment that we can bring you all truth. We cannot even indeed hope to bring you only in a sense part. We know that there are limits. We know that there are others who may come, who may give to you different aspects of truth. We must remember that truth is so enormous in itself that one may grasp a little here and a little there, and some may be ready to receive and others may not. Some will accept and some will discard. The fundamental truths remain, and these are the truths that we shall give you, and the rest we shall hope to add gradually, so that you can build more clearly than ever a picture of the reality of the Spirit. I would not have you ignorant of these things, but at the same time I do not want you to necessarily accept everything until you are ready to accept, until you are able to grasp it. Indeed, you cannot. We do not expect that you, in your world, even with your open mind, as you term it, to be able readily to accept everything that we may give. Certain things that we may say may seem strange, sometimes may seem to you far-fetched. Sometimes we may give to you aspects, as we know, of truth, which you will feel inclined to renounce or reject, at least for the time. This is to be expected. Christ himself and all the great prophets, all the great teachers from time immemorial, were oft-times, by their very disciples, by the very people they endeavored to help and who were presumably their followers and friends, would reject or could not understand certain things. Christ knew that he would have to pay the price. Christ knew that he would have to suffer. It is only through paying the price and suffering that one can ever hope to be listened to be accepted. If Christ had indeed become, as it were, the King of the Jews, in the material sense that some expected and thought he would have been, we would have heard no more about him. He would not have been accepted by generations of people as a great prophet, a great seer, a great teacher, a great lord. We must remember that all who have a cause for righteousness and truth must be denied often, be rejected. The disciples of Christ were bemused, were bewildered, were uncertain and afraid until he appeared to them in the upper room, and even then there was doubt and consternation with some. But those who saw the miracle, as they termed it, of the risen Christ, knew that death was not the end. Indeed, one could say it was the beginning. And so it is, my friends, that no one should fear death, for all shall survive it. There is no death but that which seems so. The body returns from whence it came, but the spirit of man rises far beyond the confines of material things and enters into the realm of the spirit, where it is free and absorbs new life and experience, and indeed, as we know, returns quite often, because love conquers all things, returns to serve and to help suffering humanity. Christ returned to his disciples. All the great saints and the great souls of the past return from time to time to assist, to guide and uplift humanity. It is difficult at times, always, to make people understand and realize how true this is. Yours is not an easy task. But it has never been promised that it should be. For he who would teach the truths of the Spirit must truly be prepared to be sacrificed and to sacrifice. For all such, those who should serve humanity, serve truth, must be rejected quite often. And yet, there is joy in the realization that here and there the seed is sown. For Christ said, ye shall be sowers of the seed, and it shall spring up that falls on stony ground. You who go out into the highways and the byways of your life, endeavoring to sow the seed of knowledge and of truth, do not be disturbed or distressed if for all your work and your efforts here and there you are rejected, and that seed that you thought you had sown has fallen on the hard ground. For here and there shall spring up new life that shall give new realization to truth and shall bring great joy and understanding and wisdom to the peoples that are yet to come. We are not afeared, neither are we afraid. We are ever sure in our hearts that all that we do is good. But we realize that to do good is not easy when it comes to passing it through into your world. It will trickle through here and there. Perhaps it is that if there was too much of a rush of power and of love, it would overwhelm and would in consequence defeat its own end. But this I say to all who listen to the voice of the Spirit. Whatever your creed or religion or belief may be, or if you have none at all, have no doubt that you shall live beyond so-called death. That you shall truly be resurrected in mind and in spirit to a realm and a condition of life far removed from material things. That you cannot die because you are indestructible. Your body may return from whence it came, as indeed it must, and rightly so. But you, that part of you that is, and always has been and always shall, cannot die. For it is of eternal life. It is this part of you, my friends, which you must cultivate and develop, endeavoring always to do that which is right and good, and so indeed use earth for its true purpose. Experience. That this experience may so open the doors of knowledge you may grow truly in spirit and in power and in love, that you may truly become one of the brotherhood, the spiritual brotherhood of man. You are endeavoring in your own fashion. But remember, without the power and the love of the Spirit, you are lost. Man has turned his back so often on the power of the Spirit. Man endeavors and often fails. But where he strives with all his might, man, to work in love and in harmony with truth, revelation follows, and he is lifted up out of the darkness into the light. All men shall see light. For some it may seem a long time to dwell in the darkness. Ignorance, foolishness, these shall be swept away by wisdom and illumination of the Spirit. Have no fear. Do what thou canst, but remember at all times, we are with you. Call upon us. We will come to you. We will help you. We will guide you and show you the way. You are not alone. For as Christ said, lo, I am with you always. So it is, my friends, but to those who seek, the way is found, the path is made, and you tread it not alone, for you are surrounded by a host of souls who come to serve you, to guide you, to uplift you in true love and in the brotherhood of men. There is no death. Only that which seems so, and only because they who think so think only in the material sense and not in the spiritual. The body dies, but the spirit goes on to greater heights. All is well, for you are all with God, though you may know it not. For God is within you, and all around and about you, for you are composed of God. Your very spirit is part of him, and he is, and you are, and all life is one. May peace be with you all. My blessings.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas, very much.